Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh, every other week learning. We thank our hostess and sponsor and her family very much. She wants to remain unnamed, but this year should bring them a lot of zchusim for Besoros Tovos and Nachas and Simchas with the Arichus Yamim and Shanim. We appreciate their dedication to this year and the Harbatzos HaTorah that comes out of it. So we are going to continue our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. I had prepared to go ahead in the Sefer, but then when I sat down to prepare to review actually what I had already prepared, I realized that it is not realized. Occurred to me that maybe we should start in Parshas Vaschanan, which is this week's parasha, and the reason is because Aseret HaDibros are repeated in this week's parasha. It is, I always say, Sefer Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's goodbye letter, if you will, to Am Yisrael. He is about to die on Eiver LeYarden, and therefore he reviews what happened the past 40 years. He exhorts them to go in the way of God. He admonishes them, warns them not to do Avodah Zarah. It's his final departure from the people. And in the repeat of the Aseret HaDibros, there are some changes from the first one. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing, because of course Shabbos is the one of the Aseret HaDibros, the fourth. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing. Okay, I prepared on my screen right here. Here we go. So we have, can you see Shemos chapter 20? Yes? Okay, so the first time the Aseret HaDibros are given is in Sefer Shemos, Parshas Yisro, Parchaf. Let's look at Shabbos, okay? Zachor is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. So the most obvious and first difference is that in Parshas Yisro it says Zachor, and in Parshas Vaschanan it says Shamar. Zachor is Mitzvos Aseh of Shmir of keeping of sh I don't want to say Shmira Shabbos. Zachor is mitzvahs asei of Shabbos, and Shamar is mitzvahs los asei of Shmira Shabbos. Let's look. Sheishus yamim tavod, for 6 days you shall work. Vasisa kol melechtecha, you should do all your work. The yam hashvi shabbat, cessation. The seventh day is cessation for Hashem your God. Lo tasa kol melechtecha, you should not do any work. Atu vincha vitecha avdecha v'amascha v'hamtecha v'gercha asher b'sherecha, you and your son and your daughter and your slave and your maidservant and your animals and the convert that is in your midst. Why do we keep Shabbos? We're told in Parshas Yisro. Remember, Parshas Yisro is 40 years before Parshas Vaschanan. Parshas Yisro is given to the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim, those who have left Egypt. So why do we keep Shabbos? Ki sheishes yamim asah Hashem es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz, es ha-yam ve-es kol sha-bam, v'yenach b'yam ha-shvi, because for 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that is in it, and he rested on the seventh day. Al kein b'yirach Hashem es yam ha-shabbos v'yekadosheu. Therefore, God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. So again, we're going to learn a beautiful, beautiful pshat today. If you remember last time, we learned how Rav Asher Weiss, who speaks about Zikron L'Maaseh Bereishis, teaches us Hashem is the Borei Olam, and Zecher L'Tzias Mitzrayim teaches us Hashem is the Man Higa Olam, and he referred it back to the first of the Anima, means Be'muna Shalema Shabaris Barach Shema Hu Borei Uman Hig L'Chol HaBrim. So the Chiddush of Rav Weiss was beautiful. Today we're going to learn a different Chiddush as to why in Parshas Yisro it refers Shabbos back to Maaseh Bereishis, but in Parshas Vaschanan it refers Shabbos back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So this psukim that we just went through on the screen are the command to keep Shabbos from the Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, first generation, Yotzei Mitzrayim, immediately after Yotzias Mitzrayim. You shall remember the Sabbath day, for 6 days you shall do all your work, 7 days a day of cessation for Hashem your God, for you and your family and your workers. Why? Because God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, and he sanctified the seventh day. Now we go to Vaschanan. Vaschanan is Sefer Devarim Perikei. You can see that I switched my screen here, now we're in Vaschanan. And a totally different rationale is given for Shabbos. Again, we had a beautiful share last time based on her Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. Today we're going to learn a totally different reasoning and rationale. So now we're in Va'aschanan, Shamar. Most obvious difference, there it tells us Zachar, here it tells us Shamar. You shall guard the Sabbath day, the Kachot, to keep it holy, like Hashem your God commanded you. What does that mean, like Hashem your God commanded you? So Rashi says, like you were commanded by Mara, even before Parashas Yisro, in Parak Tes Vav, of Parshas B'shalach, Parshas B'shalach, Perek Tesvav, Amara, we were commanded to keep Shabbos. You should guard the Sabbath day to sanctify that Hashem your God commanded you by Mara. Sheishas Yamim Tabot, for 6 days you shall work, you shall do all your work. And the seventh day is a Shabbat, cessation for Hashem your God. You should not do any work. You and your sons and your daughters and your manservant and your maidservant and your ox and your donkey and all of your animals and the convert that is in your gates, so that everybody shall rest. L'man Yanuach, Avdecha V'amascha Kamocha, so that your manservant and maidservant shall rest for you, like you. And then another very striking difference from Yisroel, v'zacharta ki eved ha'yisa b'eretz Yisroel. Nothing about Ma'aseh Bereishis is mentioned here. Totally different rationale. Why do we keep Shabbos? Do we keep Shabbos to remember that God is a creator? Do we keep Shabbos to remember that Hashem took us out of Egypt? V'zacharta ki eved ha'yisa. You should remember that you were a slave b'eretz Yisroel in the land of Egypt. This is this week's parsha. V'yotzi acha Hashem al kacha misham. Hashem your God took you out of there. B'yad chazaka, with a strong hand. U'vizroa netuyo, with an outstretched arm. Al kein therefore. Tzivcha Hashem al kacha la'asos this yom Shabbos. Befavish, therefore, because you were slaves in Egypt and God took you out with a strong hand and outstretched arms, therefore Hashem your God commands you to do the Shabbos. So what's going on? Why do we keep Shabbos? Do we keep Shabbos because we God created the world and we emulate? We have a command, v'halach the bedracha, v'leilich achar midosav shel kodesh baruch hu, so to yodal et aleph. So do we keep Shabbos because we're supposed to be like God? He worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Or do we keep Shabbos because we were avadam hayinu the parba mitzrayim, v'yelsiyenu hasham misham bi'ar chazako v'zrona tuya? Which is it? And why the difference? And furthermore, Shabbat we're going to learn is so beautiful. Why is it specifically to the first generation, what we call the Yotzei Mitzrayim, Hashem tells them about Ma'aseh Bereishis? You would think that Hashem would tell them about Yetzias Mitzrayim. But to the second generation who were born in the desert, they're going to be the Ba'ei Aretz. Hashem says, you were taken out of Egypt. Do you understand even further the Kasha? When he talks to the first generation who actually left Egypt. So what should he tell them? Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. God took you out with a strong hand and outstretched arms so you could keep Shabbos. No, the first generation who actually left Egypt under Moses' tutelage, he tells them God created the world. The second generation who were born and bred in the desert, who are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, he says, remember, you were slaves in the land of Egypt. But really, they were born in the desert. It was their parents who were slaves in the land of Egypt. The first generation has all died out. This is the second generation. So what's going on here? So we are going to learn a very, very beautiful pshat of Rav Shlomsher and Fall Hirsch. Now, 1 second. Here we go. Okay, could you see Dvarim Perakei Pashas Veschanan? Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, so Shomer es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. This is the beginning of the Shmira of Shabbos in Parshas Va'aschanan. We have already looked at the Dibra in Yisro, the Dibra in Va'aschanan. We have looked at the comparisons and differences, and we have stated our questions, and now we're going to go to the Pshat of Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch and helping us understand Shmira Shabbos. Here we go. Verses 12 through 15. Okay, so this is Rav Hirsch's commentary to Parshas Veschanan, the mitzvah of Shabbos. After entering the land, remember, who's he speaking to? The nation, I shouldn't say the nation, the generation who's about to enter Eretz Yisrael. And remember, when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, their existence is going to be very different. Now everything is provided for them. Manna falls from heaven, water flows from a rock, the mountains and the valleys are leveled by the Anane HaKavod, snakes and scorpions are taken care of. Laundry, you never had to do it because the Anane HaKavod kept their clothing clean. Simlascha lo balsa ve'alecha. Raglecha lo b'tzekozer. Arba'im shan, I believe it's Parachas of Devarim. Next week's Parasha Ekev. Their feet didn't swell, their shoes didn't outgrow. Rashi says their clothing grew with them like a snail shell grows with the snail. They had to do nothing in the desert to take care of themselves. Now they're going into Eretz Yisrael. What are they going to have to do in Eretz Yisrael? They're going to have to work very hard. They're going to have to produce. They're going to have to become farmers and hewers of stone and choppers of wood. And they're going to have to irrigate their lands. And they're going to have to till the soil. And they're going to have to plant and harvest. Life is about to change very, very much. Here we go. Verses 12 through 15 says refresh. After entering the land and decentralization, the people will no longer live under God's direct guidance. So don't misunderstand that. Obviously, we always live under God's direct guidance, Hashkacha Pratis, but sometimes Nisim are more revealed, and sometimes we live in a way of Teva. Yes, even Teva is under Hashem's guidance, but Al Pi Teva, we're required to do much more Hishtadlus to get our food, to get our water, to grow the plants than the Dar Hadea in the Midbar had to do. So once they enter the land, what is going to happen? The people will no longer live under this direct Hashkacha Pratis where food falls from the heaven and water comes out of rocks. They will live as individuals, every man for himself. This one in the territory of Binyamin will take care of his family. In the territory of Zvulun, he'll take care of his family. In the territory of God, he'll take care of his family. In the territory of Naphtali, he'll do what he is to do. They, each man for himself. And in their labor, they will have to struggle with nature. You're going to have to take out the weeds. You're going to have to fertilize. You're going to have to maybe use pesticides to get rid of the bugs. You're going to have to struggle with nature. You're going to have to contend with drought. You're going to have to contend with frost. And they have to also struggle with society in order to achieve independence. It's not the idyllic existence of the desert. Rav Hirsch is brilliant. For their sake, this generation specifically, it was necessary to specially emphasize the Shmira aspect of Shabbos. He skips a page. You see the psukim here, and it's commentary Rav Hirsch. So for the first generation, he needs to just say Zachar. You just need to remember that it's Shabbos. But Davka, with a generation that's going into the land, that will have to struggle as individuals, that will have to provide for their family, that will have to contend with nature and society all around them, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically emphasizes to this second generation the Shmira aspect of Shabbos. What does that mean? The sacrifice and acknowledgement and homage to God. Homage? By ceasing from work for 24 hours. Shmira, guard the Sabbath. What does that mean? Acknowledge God. Pay homage to God. And cease work for 24 hours. For this generation, it's going to be much harder. But in the Midbar, okay, besides when the Mekoshesh eats him, really, and in the first week, those who left out the man and it became wormy, what did they really have to cease from? Why were they even really working? Nothing. Why do they have to be on guard not to do on Shabbos? They didn't have to prepare their food. They didn't have to farm the soil. Why were they doing? They had to remember that it was Shabbos. Remember that it's Shabbos. But the second generation has to be very on guard, because now you're told cease work for 24 hours, and they would have to know the very real requirement of working the land, of contending with nature. Just like we, the existence that we live in. We don't have food falling from heaven. We don't only have to remember that it's Shabbos. We have to be very much on guard. Lishmar as a Shabbos. Don't work. We're so used to working. Just like the generation going into Eretz Yisrael was going to get very used to working. Thereafter, they will have their own Yad. It's brilliant. And their own Zroah. Their own power and their own might. Look what he says. You see the Pasuk right here. The final Pasuk in Ve'aschanan that details the Shmira Shabbos tells us. You should remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. You see it on my screen. Misham, God took you out biyad chazaka, with God's strong hand. He took you out with you on his outstretched arm. Therefore, Hashem commanded you to do the Shabbos. So, Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch says, as they prepare to enter the land, they won't only be dependent on God's Yad Chazak and God's Zro Netuya like they were in the desert. In the desert, everything came from Hashem's strong hand and outstretched arm, from food to clothing to protection to water. Everything came from God's Yad Chazaka. Everything came from God's Zro Netuya. But as they're about to enter the land, Hashem transfers Kaviyacho, some of that power, to their Yad. Their literal hand, their Zroa. They will work the land. They will outstretch their arm to pick the grapes and to press it into wine and to grow the olives and to put it in the oven. If you go to the ancient sites in Israel, excavation sites, they often have a reenactment of what the olive press looked like. It's going to be their Yad. It's going to be their Zroa. It will be an indication of their own power and their own might. Hence, says Rav Hirsch, third line here, at the middle of the third line, they are obligated to acknowledge ever anew that every power, every spark of power, and every basis of might all belongs to God. You might come to think it's my Yad Chazaka. You might come to think it's my Zroah and Etuya. They're going to have to press the olives for olive oil. When the Beis HaMikdash is built, they'll need a constant supply of the shemen for Mashiach. Their anointing, they'll need spices for the ketores, they will need the wheat and the barley that grows in the land, and you might come to think, oh, it's my Yad Chazaka, it's my Zroah Netuya. It was very obvious to the generation in the desert, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, that it wasn't their Yad Chazaka and it wasn't their Zroah Netuya. In fact, you never see independence. When they need water, they scream to Moshe, who calls out to God. They acknowledge that everything comes from Hashem. But this generation is very different. This generation needs a different message than the first generation. This generation needs to be told, you're going to think it's your Yad Chazaka. You're going to think it's your Zroah Netuya. Why do you always have to vizacharta, remember? You're a slave. God took you out, and it's His Chazaka, and it's His Zroah Netuya. It's not your power, and it's not your might. So thereafter, let's look at this paragraph again. Thereafter, second line in the middle of the line, they will have their own Yad and their own Zroah, their own hand and their own arm. They will have their own power and their own might. Hence, Moshe Rabbeinu is required to remind them that they are obligated to acknowledge ever anew that every spark of power, any koach that they have, and every basis of might, any product that they produce, all work that they do through their own power, through their own Yad, and all property that they accumulate with their might, it all belongs to God. And that's why Davka Rav Hirsch says it's the second generation, what we call the Ba'ei Aretz, that need to be told about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim reminds us that Hashem is in charge, or we're not in charge. Yetzias Mitzrayim reminds us that God is a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Not really do we. So therefore, when you're preparing to enter the land, where you're going to have to work very hard for 6 days, you might come to think it's all because of me. Oh, remember Egypt. Remember you were slaves. Remember you were dependent on the Ribbono Shel'olam. And that's why this generation is specifically told, Shamar, says Rav Hirsch, not Zachar. The first generation only needed Zechira. There was no Shamar. What were they doing? They weren't doing anything. They required cessation of labor and Shmira. This generation needs to be told, Shamar, be very careful, be on guard, even though you're going into a land where you have to work for 6 days and it's going to be hard work. On the seventh day, you're going to have to be on guard to stop that work and to remember that everything that you produce in this new land, ultimately, it looks like it's coming from your hand. It looks like it's coming from your arm, but it's really coming from the power and the might of the Ribbono Shel Olam. 1 second, there's a comment here. 1 second. Okay, so... so therefore, let's go second paragraph of Rehersh. For God revealed himself to them, meaning the Bnei Yisrael, in the very midst of the Egyptian state. Rehersh continues to explain why it's this specific generation that needs the reminder of Mitzrayim. God revealed himself to them in the very midst of the Egyptian state, which, right, that's when Hashem came to them. They were in the middle of Sheba Mitzrayim. They couldn't even listen to Moshe. Mikotza Ruch, Mevoda Kasha. They're in the middle of all babies into the river. They're in the middle of backbreaking labor. They're in the middle of a Yimaru Eschayehem. And all of a sudden, Hashem revealed himself in the midst of this pit of Gehenna, in this pit of Abdus, in this pit of slavery, in the very midst of the Egyptian state. Who was the Egyptian state? They were a state which glorified in its own power and its own might. In fact, excuse me, Shemos 5:2. What's the very first thing that Paro says when Moshe comes? He says, you know, God of the Hebrews appeared to me and he said, I'm taking them out of here. And what does Paro say? What does Paro say? I'm powerful and mighty. I don't know who God is. Mi Hashem, Asher Ashma Bekolo. Lo Yadati Es Hashem, V'gam Es Yisrael Lo Shalech. How much does Paro pride himself on his own power and his own might? I don't know who God is. Mi Hashem, who's God? I should listen to him. I don't know God, and I'm not listening to him. This is the epitome of a nation state that gloried in its own power, in its own might, in Paro's Yad Chazaka, in Paro's Zroah Netuya Kaviyacha. And he, capital H, God, showed them, the Bnei Israel, his power and his might when he liberated the slaves who had been bereft of all power and all might. So he's continued to explain why Shabbos is related to Yetzias Mitzrayim, specifically to a generation that's about to enter the land and begin working. When a person works, whether it's in a land, you know, in a farm or in an office, you know, as a doctor, as a lawyer, as an architect, as a builder, as a florist, as a baker, you run the risk of thinking how great I am. Paro went so far as to think that he was a god and he created everything. Hashem came down into this very society where Paro believed in his power and his might. where he gloried in his yad and his zroa. Hashem showed them who is in charge. Hashem showed the Bnei Israel and the Egyptians his power and his might when he liberated us from Egypt. We who had been bereft of all power and his and might. By his power, God's, and his might, he gave them everything that they call their own power and their own might. So Rav Hirsch is saying that, yes, we seem to have some power. We seem to have some might. But it only comes because the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the ability to create, the ability to produce, the ability to work, the ability to be successful. And now, Hashem expects us to acknowledge his power and might through the Shabbos sacrifice of Shvisa Mimilacha Umehotza'a. When we Shabbat, when we cease working and carrying out, we're ultimately acknowledging that everything that we have comes from Hashem. That's what Paro failed to acknowledge. That's another reason why we go back to Yetzias Mitzrayim here. Hashem is saying, Moshe is saying, V'zacharta ki aved ha'yisa be'aretz Mitzrayim, v'yotziach Hashem el-kacham isham b'yar chazak v'zrona tuya. Don't go to the mentality of the Egyptians. You're going to work your land. Don't become like Paro who said, nothing is from God, everything is from me, no matter how successful you are in your new land. And that's why this Pshat of Rav Hirsch is so brilliant, because it makes so much sense in understanding that he uses these specific words, this specific history that's when speaking to this specific generation. The first generation didn't need to be told this message. They knew they had just left Egypt, but they didn't need to be told, don't become so enamored with your own Yad Chazaka Zrona Tuya, because in the desert they didn't manifest their Yad Chazaka Zrona Tuya. So you would think the first generation should be told about Mitzrayim. No, they don't need to know about God's Yad Chazaka Zrona Tuya when it comes to Shabbos, because they didn't do anything by themselves. The man felt exactly how much in. He didn't even need to figure out how many people are coming for supper and how much do I need to cook. Everything came from Hashem. There was no way they could think, Kochi ve'otze miyadi asali asachayla, that they saw Hashem revealed. But the new generation that's going into the new land, that will work under Teva, runs the very real risk of thinking, like Paro, mi Hashem, lo yadati asasha. Who is he? I only know myself. My mind, my fields, my wheat, my olives, my oil, my wine, my rimoni, my dvash from Tamarim. So Moshe says to them, you know what I want you to remember? You're going into the land. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's brilliant. Mamish brilliant. Mamish brilliant. Ooh, I must spill my water. For 24 hours, says Rav Hirsch, they are to cease. Remember, I always say, especially in this class, Shabbat does not mean rest. I say it all the time. We had it two times in Megillas Eicha and Perek Hey. One of them is Zkenim Misharim Shavsu Ubachurim Miniginasam. And there's no more. The elders who used to sit in the gates have ceased. And Shavat Misos Libeinu Nehapach La'eva Mechaleinu. It's back to Pesukim in Perek Hey. The joy in our hearts has ceased. And here Hirsch uses the word cessation. And that's really the key to Shabbos. It's cessation of work, Shvisa Mimalacha, but it's cessation from the mentality that I'm in charge. It's cessation from the Pharaonic and Egyptian mentality that I irrigate, I am in control. No, don't think like that, even though you're going to land that's dependent on your work. And that's why this generation needs to be told Shamar. And that's why this generation needs to be told about Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first generation is told about Ma'aseh Bereishis, because everything they witness reinforces that God is the creator. The man falling reminds us that Hashem created the world. The water flowing reminds us he created the water. This generation needs a different message. For 24 hours, they are to cease exercising their power. Stop with your power that produces work. And the might that controls and uses objects. So for 24 hours Shabbat, you no longer produce. You are no longer mighty. So beautiful. That is why the Torah details. Okay, so let's look at the Pesukim of Beschanan. Okay, so that was all on the first Pasuk of the Seres Adibu, Shamor. And the last Pasuk here of Shabbos, Ki Eved Zacharta, Ki Eved Hayisa. What are we told the middle two psukim? Okay, it's Parakeh, as you could see, you had Beis through Tesvav. Sheishes Yamim Tava Vasisa Komechtecha. That's an imperative. If you want to survive in the land, you got to go in and work. Because there's not going to be any manna from heaven. However, v'yom hashvi'i shavat l'Hashem elkecha, the 7th day is a cessation for Hashem your God. Lo tasa kol melacha, do not do any work. Who else should not do any work? You, ato uvincha v'itecha, your son and your daughter, v'avdachon, your manservant, v'amasecha, your female servant, your maidservant, v'sharcha, and your ox, v'chamarcha, and your donkey, v'chol behemtecha, and all of your animals, the gercha asher b'sharecha, and the convert which is in your midst, l'man yanuach. We're told something different here than we were told in Shemos. L'man yanuach abdecha v'amascha kamocha. So that in order that your servant and your maidservant shall rest just like you. Not only are we told that you and your family and your servants and your animals must rest, must cease working on this day, but we're also told in order that your servant and your maidservant should rest just like you. So now let's go back to Rav Hirsch. That is why, here, the second paragraph on this page. That is why scripture, the Torah, details... There's a comment, 1 second, I'm sorry, just in case I need to adjust something. Yes, very much like Shemitah. That's exactly right, it's very much like Shemitah. Shemitah is a year of remembering that the power, and this, we're coming into a Shemitah year. 5782 will be a Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned in last night's shiur, if anybody learned with me last night, or I heard the shiur online, I don't know, between last night and this morning, if you had time to hear the shiur online yet, but that we had guests here last night who, you listen to last night's shiur, you'll hear the whole family history, but they rely on Heter Mechira during the Shemitah year. But she was saying that's very, very interesting. I'm not repeating what I said last night. So it's very, very interesting that she said it's a problem because this is a woman who does tremendous hachnasas archim every week. She's an incredible person. He has olim and singles and people who can't find their place or divorcee. She just opens her home. She's an amazing person. But she said that the Shemitah year is sometimes complicated in terms of having guests because they rely on Heter Mechira. You could hear last night their family history, but she said very often the guests do not rely on Heter Mechira. So it becomes complicated when they have guests. So I don't know yet. I have to ask a Shaila of Arav what Tamar is going to do next year. But when I was in Eretz, I was like in seminar, I was a bas bias by this family's home. So I said, not sure yet what Tamar does. I didn't ask. So I said, oh no, what's going to happen when Tamar comes to you? Because she said, we have a way to work it out. But you're right, it's like Shemitah. And the Shemitah year, it's a whole year of acknowledging that there is no power and might to my Yad and my Zroah. But it's just so brilliant how Rav Hirsch explains why this generation needs this message and the first generation does not. It's enough to tell the first generation, Zachar, to remember, first of all, there is no Shmirah because they're not working the soil. They're not sewing their own clothing. There's nothing for them to do that requires the Shmirah aspect of Shabbos. They couldn't even gather manna. It didn't even fall. You couldn't gather man if you wanted to. It didn't even fall. There was no man to gather. And why they need to be told about Ma'aseh Bereishis, because their desert experience reinforces Hashem is the creator of all and the upholder of all. The second generation needs the added aspect of Shamar and also needs to be referenced back to Yetzias Mitzrayim so they do not fall into the spiritual death trap of the mentality of Paro, which is Li Ya'ori, says the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Va'ani Asisini. Paro said, the river is mine and I made it. Because this generation risks that mentality, Moshe, in his brilliance and in his Ruach HaKodesh, tells them that Shabbos is because of Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's amazing. Now, going back to, that's because the comment was on Shemitah, so I took a little tangent. Going back to the Pasuk that has told us, Pasuk Yudalit and Parakeh, so you should not do any work. You and your sons and your daughters and your manservant and your maidservant and your ox and your donkey and all of your animals and the convert that's in your gates. In order that, now we have Yanuach, which does mean rest. Shavat means cessation. So that your servant and your maidservant shall rest like you. So when you cease, there is an element of Menucha on Shabbos. If you're not working, by definition, hopefully you have an aspect of Menucha. Okay, so now, where am I up to? Here. That is why scripture describes here in great detail the whole sphere of man's power and might. V'sharcha, v'chamarcha, v'chol behemtecha. Rav Hirsch points out that in 2010, in Shemos, in Parshas Yisro, it only says uvehemtecha, your animals. But here it says v'chol behemtecha, all of your animus. There's an added element here. And on the other hand, all of the members of a man's sphere of power are joined him by the conjunctive v'avdecha, not avdecha. Let's look again. Okay? Actually, I'm going to stop this screen share and go to... Yes, that's very true also. Amalki Sultan just wrote, lanuach, kasher yanuach, doesn't only mean physical rest, means a sense of menuchas hanefesh, when we come to acknowledge that Hashem is the absolute power, and like we're learning, we don't have really a yad chazak and a zrona too, even though for 6 days you might think you do as you work the land, it leads to a sense of menuchas hanefesh. It does not only mean a physical rest, but an internal tranquility of soul with acknowledging that Hashem runs the whole world. What I want to go back to do is look at the differences Rav Hirsch is speaking about in Dvarim compared to Shemos. So in the Seres HaDibros in Shemos, we're told, Uvehem Techa, your animals shall rest. But in Dvarim, we're told, the chol behemtecha, all of your animals. It's much more inclusive. The word chol includes everything that helps you on the farm must totally rest and cease from work on Shabbos. Furthermore, in look at the brilliance of Torah. In Shemos, we are told, 1 second, I just need to see something. In Shemos, it doesn't even list specific animals. Look, lo tasa komalacha atu vinchavitecha avdecha v'amascha uvehemtecha v'gircha shebishrecha. It doesn't say your ox and your donkey and all of your animals. It just says you and your children and your servants and your animals. Because when they enter into the land, there's going to be much more focus on Sharcha, Chamorcha, the Chobemtecha. That ox is going to work very hard to till the soil. That donkey is going to work very hard to carry the produce from the farm, from the farmland, from the field to the storehouse. The Chobemtecha. And anything else that helps you in this work. Again, it wasn't relevant for the Dor HaMidbar. They didn't have oxes and donkeys carrying the produce anywhere. There wasn't any produce to carry. The chol behemtecha wasn't relevant to them. But now when you come to Devarim, look at the difference. Atu vinchavitecha v'avdecha v'amasecha v'shorcha, we're not told that in Shemos. V'chamorcha, we're not told that in Shemos. V'chol, and all your animals. Look at the brilliance of this pshat, and also look at the profundity of Torah and the divine nature of Torah. It's just so incredible. These differences tell us a whole difference in the mentality of these two generations and why Moshe, in his brilliance, understood that this generation needs a very different message. Okay, so Atu Vincha Vitecha V'Avdecha V'Amascha. Now I'm going to specify the Shor, the one who plows the field, the Chamor, the one who carries the produce from field to storehouse, the Chol Bemtecha, and any animals that might help you. Rav Hirsch had pointed out one more difference with the Vav. So should I just want to see 1 second? And Rav Hirsch furthermore points out that here, okay, in Shemos, look, when it talks about your servants, could you see my screen that I'm in Shemos now? Yeah. It says avdecha without a vav. It doesn't say and your servant. It says your servant. In Ve'eschanan, it joins your servant to you with the word ve'avdecha, one vav. Okay, this is the Vav HaChibur. In the Eschanan, when it's telling the people about Shmiras Shabbos, not Zechira Shabbos, it says Ve'avdecha, and furthermore, lists specific animals, and then says all your animals. In Yisro, it says Avdecha without the Vav, and then it doesn't list specific animals at all. So now let's go back to Rav Shamshon Feilhirsch. That's certainly true. If you can set your worries aside, you will have menuchas hanefesh. So I'll tell you an insight that I heard a long time ago, mamash, a very long time ago, that ties into sort of what you ladies are commenting on. I'm going to type it in the chat so it's easier for you to see. So the word da'aga, I'm waiting for my Hebrew keyboard to come up. 1 second. Here we go. The word da'aga which means Hebrew. I'm typing it on my screen. Oops, it didn't come out right. Give me a second. The dollar didn't come. The word da'aga, which is on my screen, has all the first letters of the alphabet. You see the aleph, the gimel, the dalet, and the hey. It does not have a bet. Why doesn't it have a bet? Because bet stands for bitachon, which means trust in God. If a person has bitachon, the bet of bitachon, the base of bitachon, then there is no da'aga. So if you, Ricky Fishbein taught me this many, many years ago. So if you have bitachon, you don't have da'aga. So therefore, da'aga does not have the bet of the aleph base to tell you that if a person trusts in God, they will not have worry, which is really what you ladies are speaking about. If we recognize that Hashem is in control, we will put our worries aside. And that leads to menuchas and nefesh. Let's go back, learned that so many years ago, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. And it's something that's stuck in my mind. Let's go back to Rav Shem Sharfel Hirsch, please. Okay, so now that we've seen on the screen and we look together at the differences between who shall work and who shall rest and cease from working, and the fact that in Va'aschanan they are told about specifically their ox, their donkey, and all their animals. In Shemos we don't have that because the first generation has no shaychus to that. And furthermore, there is a vav hachibur after this you and your son and your daughter, ve abdecha in Va'aschanan, and your servant. And we do not have that in Shemos. So now let's look. Okay? Going back to Rav Shem Sharfel Hirsch. That is why scripture describes here in greater detail, the whole sphere of man's power and might. Vishorcha, v'chamarcha, v'chol behemtecha. And he says, look in Sefer Shmos, which we just did, where only the first time that Sarasa Dibros are given, it says, Uvehemtecha, only Vehemtecha is written. Because the Dor HaMidbar didn't need the ox and the donkey to plow and carry the produce. And on the other hand, excuse me, finish my water. All the members of a man's sphere of power are joined to him, in Va'aschanan, by the conjunctive Ve'avdecha, not Avdecha like we saw in Shmos. So, and he says that Vav HaChibur, look here in Pasuk Gedalet, this Vav HaChibur by Ve'avdecha joins the whole second half of the Pasuk to men. So it's not just Ve'avdecha is the Vav HaChibur, the Vav of connection for your servant. That Vav begins the whole clause of people who are part of your Chabura and join to you. Ve'avdecha, Ve'amasecha, Ve'shorcha, V'chamercha, v'cha b'amtecha, v'gercha asher b'shrecha. Do you see that? The second half of the clause, all those people and animals that are used, excuse me, or utilized is a better, I need a tissue. All of those who are utilized to help you work the fields in a new land where you have to exert your own yad and stretch out your own zroah are joined to you by the vav hachibur, because that mentality of this is mine and they work for me must be put aside in the land. I just need to get tissue. 1 second. Sorry, excuse me. So that Vav HaChibur begins a whole new conjunction. So now let's go back to Rav Hirsch. It's amazing. Okay, and on the other hand, all the members of a man's sphere of power are joined to him by the conjunctive Vav, Ve'avdecha, not Avdecha. Why? For on the Sabbath, all these members are equal to their master, who bows down before God together with them. So you shouldn't think on Shabbos you have more power than your servant and your maidservant. And even your ox and your donkey, everyone bows in homage to God. You are all equal before the Ribono Shel Olam on Shabbos. Just like they can work and produce, you also can work and produce. Just like they are not meshubah to you, you are not meshubah to yourself. On Shabbos, we recognize that we are meshubah to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that is why it adds here, Laman Yanuach Avdecha Va'amascha Kamocha. Remember, we didn't see that in Shemos. That wasn't told in Parshas Yisro. Remember, the end of the Pasuk, after it tells you who cannot work, with greater detail than the first generation received, it concludes by saying, Laman Yanuach Avdecha V'amascha Kamocha. So that we should have the sense of, like we were talking about, Menucha, Whether it's physical rest, or like we said, emotional rest or spiritual rest, we have a sense of menuchas hanefesh. There's no da'aga. You're not worried about what the fields will produce on Shabbos. You're not worried about the crop. You're not worried about the harvest. All that leaves. So when we remove da'aga, we have bitachon. L'man yenuach abdecha v'amescha kamocha is not mentioned in Shemos in Yisrael. So going back to Rav Hirsch, that is why it adds here, l'man yenuach abdecha v'amescha kamocha, so that your servant and your maidservant shall rest like you. For that is the specifically evident consequence of the cessation from work on Shabbos. Specifically, the consequence of cessation from work is menucha. So again, it's very important. Shabbos doesn't mean menucha, the translation. Shabbat means cease. The consequence of cessation from work, the consequence of shvisa mimelacha umehotza'a, is menucha. So when we say that Shabbos is a day of rest, it's very not correct translation. Shabbos is a day of cessation. The cessation leads to menucha. Specifically, the evident consequence. You know when you tell a child it's not a punishment, it's a consequence of your actions? So if you miss the bus, I don't know any parent actually does this, especially if you live very far from school, and we feel so bad for the kids and how they're going to actually get there, and I'm worried and it's so far. But it really should be, if you missed the bus because you didn't set your alarm, you went to sleep today, you slept, and if you want to teach responsibility and accountability, then you have to figure out on your own how to get to school. I'm not punishing you. It's a consequence of what you did. So here in a positive sense, why does it add so that the element of menucha, which we did not see in Yisroel? Specifically, the evident consequence of shavisa, shavat, cessation from work on Shabbos, leads to the consequence of menucha, which is really what you ladies were really trying to get to. When we cease believing in my Yad Chazaka, look at my olives, I must be an amazing farmer. Whoa, look at my grapes, taste this wine, I grew it with this hand. When you cease believing in your Yad Chazaka, Moshe is telling the generation who's going to do all this work. It's just like us. We work the whole 6 days. Look at the table I set. Look at the food that I made. Look how productive my work is. Moshe says this generation is not the Dor HaDeah. It's not coming to them free from Shemayim. They're going to work so hard. But the danger is you adopt the mentality of Paro. So specifically for them, they need to be taught that Shabbos is Zecher, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's brilliant. And so the consequence of Shavisa is Menucha. Shavat, cease, Menucha, then you will truly be able to rest. And that Menucha expresses homage to God and suspends man's mastery over himself and over the natural world. That Menucha is a consequence of Shavisa, and it expresses homage to God, and this entire conception will suspend man's mastery over himself and over the natural world. Hence, we have a tremendous explanation of Rav Hirsch as to pointing out the differences between the Aseres HaDibros Shabbos in Yisro and the Ve'aschanan, and such a deep interpretation as to how Moshe specifically gears the message of Shabbos to this generation as they are prepared to enter into Eretz Yisrael. It's tremendous. 1 second. Yeah, certainly in our generation, v'chol b'amtecha, v'chol applies to anything we use to produce and to work and to acquire. V'chol on Shabbos, all that is included in cessation. Okay, so I thank you so much for joining. Once again, like I said in the beginning of this year, we thank our sponsor and our family very, very much. I hope everyone learned new insights. I certainly did. And I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos, a true Shabbat Shalom, and we cease, we come to Menucha, the acknowledgement that everything is from the Yad Chazak and the Zorah Netuya of the Ribono Shel Olam. Have a great Shabbos, everyone. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.